Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
All right. We have a treat for you guys today. I started to call them The three ladies that are going to be sharing today is Michelle Sellers and Henry Ann Smith and the love of my life, my girlfriend, my wife, my friend, my go-to, Miss Faye Mitchell. Man, you say, why you do that? That's my wife. You know, I got to get some brownie points, right? That's right, guys. Amen. And let's receive them. I think Michelle is going first. Let's receive them, please. Receive her, please.
Good morning. How is everybody this morning? I'm going to talk to you a little bit because I'm nervous. Is that all right? Happy Mother's Day to all of you. It's a privilege to be at Father's Vineyard with you and to serve alongside of you and to see mothers grow and develop and those mothers that have been before me and they help me grow and develop. So I just appreciate each one of you. This morning, what I want to talk to you a little bit about is mothers and women, how we set the tone for our families, how we set the tone for our workplace and even ministry here at church. And we do that in so many ways. Tone, if we're looking at tone, it's the attitude, the mood, the spirit. And one of the things that comes to my mind is colors. Our moms and the women in the house, we bring color into the home. We like pretty flowers, and we like to wear colorful clothes. Not to exclude the men, wear your colorful clothes, but women bring the color, and it sets that tone. And another way that we set the tone is through love. And with God, that's the way He won us over, is through His love. And so, if you want to turn to 1 Corinthians 13, that's where we're going to be reading from. And I will ask, since I'm talking about grace, for you to extend your grace to me this morning, because what I'm going to share with you is something that I'm walking through, that I'm learning, that He's trying to teach me. And I think in a time of social media and all this stuff, and we put stuff on Facebook or, you know, Instagram or whatever, and we want to pose as if everything's all gravy in our lives, right? And people see all the positive stuff, and they don't see real. And I don't have it all together. Just because I'm standing up here with this mic, nervous as all get out right now, does not mean that I have it all together. This is a process. And so we're in this together, and I want you to know, and that's our heart in women's ministry here at Father's Vineyard, is that we're in this together. And it's about unity. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And if I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and if I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love fainteth not itself. I'm sorry, my translation changed. Technology. It is not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemingly. Russell, do you have it up in a language that people can understand, even though I'm reading from this one that doesn't? I just put him on the spot, and I'm sorry. Rejoiceth not in unrighteousness, but rejoiceth with the truth. It beareth all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And this may not be the case for everybody, but for most of you, I hope it's true that mom's home is the place that's safe you go home to, and that you're loved unconditionally. Moms are imperfect. We're human. But we love, and we all love in our own way. I'm going to love Carissa and Luke differently than, say, Mary over there. I look at Mary McAfee, I'm like, she's so meek and mild, and her children are perfect. And I'm like crazy and obnoxious, and at home, like, we're cutting up, and I don't like their rap songs, so I make up my own words. And, you know, we do it our way, and you love your way. And that's okay. It doesn't have to be the same. Our personalities are different, and our love's going to be reflected out through that. But that's how we set the tone. That's how we're extending our grace. And some of those, some of the ways that we can extend that grace through that love is speaking life. Speaking life to, if you're married, husbands, to your children. And if you're not, to those around you in the workplace, here at church. You're setting the tone for the people that are around you right now. Here at this church. It's important when you come here. Sometimes you might think it doesn't matter if I show up. But it does. The people you're sitting around notice. And you set the tone and you bring that with you. Another way is to forgive easily. Are we able to forgive? Are we able to give that grace? And oftentimes we are. If we're not, he gives us grace, as I am in a process of learning to forgive easily. To own when you're wrong is a way that we can show that grace and that tone in our home. Not keeping scores. Not keeping a list. I heard this saying a long time ago. You know, my wife doesn't get hysterical. She gets historical. Let's give some grace, okay? Give some grace. We got to forgive, and we got to be able to move forward. To never give up on somebody that you love, whether it's a child, whether it's your husband or your wife, whether it's someone you see struggling, whether it's someone here at church that you see. When we don't give up on them, we're giving that tone of grace, which we were given. We have to give what we were given. We can't keep it to ourselves. We can't hoard it. Having compassion, trying to see the other side. I know my children are over there going, what is she talking about? I'm working on it. I'm a work in progress, right? And Russell, yeah. We set the tone of grace by continuing to be in the Word and to continue to be in prayer and to continue to ask the Lord, show me how to do this. And so, moms, I want to thank you for extending that. And for those of you who don't have biological children, thank you for those that you mother around you. And for those of you who want to mother and aren't, look for those opportunities. There are plenty of people who want to be mothered who didn't have that. And the Lord wants to give you that opportunity to mother. But a song that has been in my mind for a while now is Colors by Bethel. And it's like, Lord, bring your colors. That's His beauty. That's all His aspects. And when we invite Him in and we invite His colors in, grace will just happen to other people through us. We don't have to conjure that up. We don't have to make that happen. When we're walking in one with Him, that will just happen. And I just want to encourage you to continue to seek Him. He loves you. He adores you. And He wants to just be with you. And when we give that up, and this is the word I felt like the Lord said, some of you have given that up. Some of you have lost your place. Some of you have forgotten who you are. And He wants to remind you that you're His daughter, you're His son, you're His beloved. There is nothing that you could do that is too bad or too wrong or too dirty that He can't cover. His blood's already covered it. His grace is sufficient for you. All you got to do is take that. And my prayer is that you do that today. And Miss Henrietta and Miss Fay are going to follow me, and they've got some more good nuggets for you. But just know I am praying for you, and that I really, really appreciate each one of you. And I love doing life with you. And for those of you that I don't know, I want to get to know. And let's do this thing together. And let's give each other grace.
Gee, I'm always up here saying something to you all. Bless the Lord. I've been doing a study on faith for quite a while. I had started it years back with a group of young ladies. We did 2 weeks, and then it fizzled out. It was right in the middle of summer. Wrong time. But I picked it up recently, and I've been learning some things about faith that I want to share with you this morning. The basic thing of faith is that faith must be personal. But it can't remain private. True active believing is visible and evident and affects every relationship, every decision, every action, and every situation we find ourselves in. Our faith comes out one way or the other. What you believe one way or the other comes out in every situation. I'm thinking about the prayer that Paul prayed for the Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 15 through 19. He said, "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, which is the evidence of your faith, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened." Enlightened means free from ignorance and misinformation. "That you may know the hope to which you are called, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints." Inheritance is the reception of genetic qualities by transmission from parent to offspring, our glorious inheritance in the saints, and to also know what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward those who believe. Another foundational truth is found in Hebrews 11, verse 6. It says, "But without faith, it's impossible to please God. You can do all the good things you want, but if they're not done in faith, you've not pleased the Lord." The study that I was doing did bring me to the faith chapter, Hebrews 11. And it gives the list of all of these people and their great acts of faith. And then it turns, it just kind of talks about generalities of people and things that they've done. Well, that last person who is mentioned by name with her act of faith was Rahab. She's first mentioned in the book of Joshua. You guys probably know this story very well. The walls falling down. What was amazing is that the men were sent as spies into Jericho. They went to her house of ill repute, which was also a place of lodging. And she hid them from the officials. And when they came to ask about them, she said they weren't there. She had hid them on the roof among the straw and the hay. But after the officials left, she had a proposal for these men. She said, "I know that the Lord has given you this land, and that the fear of the Lord has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites and the beyond the Jordan and Sihon and Og, whom you devoted to destruction." And as soon as I heard it, she said, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man in the city. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and the earth beneath. Now then, she said, swear to me that you won't destroy me and my family. Make a vow, make a promise that you won't destroy me and my family. And the men agreed. We will spare your family, of course, if you spill that we've been here or you tell them where we are. The deal's off. And he said, let this be the sign. I'll give you this red cord, and I want you to hang it from your window so that when we come on that day of destruction, we will know that anyone in that house by that window where that red cord is will be spared. Do you remember when Pastor shared about the Passover and how the blood of that lamb upon the doorpost and the lintels caused the death angel to pass by? The same trust that Israel put in the blood of that lamb, Rahab and her family were putting in that red cord that hung out her window, believing that death would pass over them. So they were always in a state of readiness. Everybody from her family had to come into her house and stay there, lest they be in the wrong place at the wrong time. Just like us, we must live in a state of watchfulness and readiness because we never know the time or the hour of our Lord's return. But what I think is great about Rahab is that there's two other mentions of her, one in the book of James and the other in Hebrews 31. And they call her Rahab the harlot. It's like throwing her sin before us. But you know, that's not like God. He doesn't condemn us. So why would he say this about her? It was for us. That we would know that Rahab, in her sin, living in a city of sinners, doomed for destruction, turned her heart toward God. And he received her in that sinful state and redeemed her life. Anyone, no matter what you have done, if you turn your heart toward God, he will hear you and he will save you. So praise God, they said she was a harlot. Praise God, she was a sinner, just like me, just like you, just like anyone who would turn to God in faith. While I was yet a sinner, God gave his precious son that I might be saved. I'm also touched by her desire to save her whole family. You know, not all families are that great. Her dad might have been abusive. Her mother may have been overbearing. Her brother may be aloof and unconscious of her. Her sisters may have been jealous and condemning. But they were her family. And she wanted them saved. And I know you can identify with that. No matter what they've done, when it comes that last day, we want them saved. We want them in the kingdom. And bless God, he made that provision for her whole family. She's mentioned again in the book of Matthew. And this is where, as I was going through this study, I just felt like the Lord told me to just stop and ponder this. In Matthew, it says that it's given the genealogies, and it says, as the wife of Salmon in the tribe of Judah, she is the mother of Boaz. The mother of Boaz. I knew that, but for some reason it hit me differently. Boaz is the kinsman redeemer. He's the one who represented Christ. He's the one who gave of himself to purchase the deed, to make it righteous and fulfilled, that there would be no lien upon it, that no one else could ever take it away. Who was this Rahab that she gave birth to a man so lovely, so beautiful, that he represents our very Lord Jesus to us? You know, Rahab must have changed. I believe she became an honorable woman, that she became a good wife, that she demonstrated the spirit of hospitality, compassion, long-suffering, tenderness for this young man of hers to have those same attributes, because that's who he was. the wonderful representation of our Savior. It continues and says that Boaz, the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of David, the king. Awesome. And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called Christ. You know, that's how you build a legacy. You start with your life given fully over to God, following his commands, trusting his promises, and you're building a legacy. You may not see it. She didn't see King David. She did not see Christ the Lord. But her faith put her in the place where that could be her legacy, her lineage, something we remember her by rather than just Rahab the harlot. You know, I have a good friend. We've been friends since our boys were in elementary school. She called me the other day. We've been praying a long time for her son, addicted to drugs, in and out of rehab, in and out of jobs, wrecked vehicles. He and his family evicted from their homes many times. But the relationship with us was to keep encouraging others, to remain steady, be faithful. You live right. You believe right. You know what God has said about that boy. You believe his promises. Don't give up on him. Don't throw him away. This week she called. He called her. She was even out of town, and he called her. He said, Mom, every day when I wake up, I ask God, if you're real, reveal yourself to me. And he's been frustrated. This week he said, God, I know you're real. I see you in my family, and I know they're not crazy. Reveal yourself to me. And he said a peace came over him like he has never known. And he called his mom and said, now, Mom, what do I do? He has come to the knowledge that he is of God, and he is a child of promise. And it's been because of the faithfulness of his mother, praying and not giving up. Don't stop believing. God is faithful to his promises. Bless the Lord. The Spirit impressed upon my heart. Ladies, we can't be wimpy in our walk of faith. We can't keep doing things the same way we did before Christ. We must live out our faith out loud, truly trusting God, trusting him to be the powerful maker of the way through the water, defeater of our enemies, wall crumbling, death stopping, sinner saving God. As Peter states it in chapter 3, verse 8 and 9, he said, let us have one mind among us, purposing to have compassion for one another, to love as sisters and brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that we were called to this, that we may inherit a blessing. The blessing is your legacy. We have a legacy. We're in the process of making it today. Let's welcome Ms. Fay.
I'm going to continue with telling you a story in the book of Ruth. As quickly as I can. What I want to do is add to both what Michelle said and what Ms. Henriette said. And I want to encourage you all that you have to allow people to be who they are. You know, you have to let them be who God made them to be. and not compare them and not make them be like anybody else. But I want you women to be encouraged to be who God made you to be, to serve in whatever capacity he has called you to serve in, with the anointing and with the presence of God on your life, because that's what brings change. And I believe that God has slowed us down as believers, and he's bringing us back to truth. And he's bringing us back to what is right and what is correct, and getting our lives in line so that we will be, and the world will see, and our families will see that God is real. See, we talk about him. We talk about him so much. We preach about him. We do a whole lot of things about him. Y'all, but we have to become like he is in order for the world. The scripture said this. He said that the world was waiting to see the manifestations of the sons and the daughters of God. It didn't say nothing about he heard. He was waiting for us to talk about him. Come on, our life has to come in alignment to where we will be able to do what he has called us to do. And I'm telling you, as a woman, as a person sitting in this building, if you are born again, then you have the power and you have the capability living on the inside of you, no matter what it is that you're going through, to overcome, because Jesus overcame. You know, when I think about the cross and I think about all the things that he went through, and sometimes I fuss and I complain about this and I complain about that, and I think, Faye, you ain't hung on no cross for nobody. Come on, you talking about the little bit you go through, that ain't nothing. What about what Jesus went through for us? And we have to be reminded of that. Sometimes he has to bring us back down to the point to where we're grounded. And we understand that we come to church because we love God. Come on, we come to church because we love him. And that has to begin to overflow in our everyday lives and in everything that we do. I love when she talked about the home, because I told my husband, I said, John, I said, I don't want us to go to church all of our lives and do all these things and my children not be lost. You know, my children be lost, or my children don't have the heritage and the legacy of just knowing Jesus. And yes, I know they know about God, but we need to spend time with them and make sure that they understand, because whether you realize it or not, we are living in a time that's harder. And listen, if you don't understand what you believe now, you won't make it. I'm being honest with you. You won't make it. So let's look at Ruth and Naomi for just a minute. I want to talk to you about Ruth and Naomi. Ruth's name means friendship. Naomi's name means pleasant. And you'll understand the importance of their names as we get over on into the story. Ruth is a story of love, of devotion, and redemption set in the days of Judges. Basically, it is a story of a Moabite woman who forsakes her pagan heritage in order to cling to the people of Israel. Because of her faithfulness in the time of national unfaithfulness, God rewards her by giving her a new husband, Boaz. Isn't that something, how my story and her story is coming together? And when I was beginning to read about Boaz, it was like, no, don't do Boaz. Just, and I thought, now I see why I don't do Boaz, because she connected Boaz for me. And isn't that something, how the Spirit of God works between us? But God rewards her by giving her a new husband, Boaz, a son of Obed, and the privileges, position of the lineage of David and Christ. Did you hear that? She was beneficial in the lineage of God. Ruth was a virtuous woman. And it also talked about the kinsman redeemer, which means one who redeems. Now, I want to read a little bit to you, and I'm going to try to jump around so I don't have to read 18 verses. In Ruth 1, now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of her two sons, Mahan and Chilion, Ephrathites and Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Naomi's husband died. So I want you to look at some of the things that Naomi went through. Naomi's husband died. On down there in verse 5, her two sons die. Now listen, you're talking about a woman with a husband, two children. Put yourself in that position. How would you feel? Where would your heart be? Look at imagine all the things that they would go through. And Mahan and Chilion died, also both of them. And the woman was left, her two sons and her husband. In other words, Naomi was by herself. So really, Naomi was suffering. I can imagine it's not a wonderful thing to lose your children, your husband especially, but then your children. And then she arose. Now in verse 6 it says she arose. So after everything that she had gone through, she could have quit. She could have said, you know what, I'm tired of this. You know, if God was with me, he should have at least protected my family. But she didn't. She arose. She moved. She got up from where she was. How many times do us as women, when we go through things, we stop, y'all? And you know what? We have a virtue about us that I think we need to tweak, and that's called nurturing. Because sometimes if we're not careful, we've been nurturing the wrong thing. We be way over there in depression, and we nurture them. We be way over there. We do. And we keep it and we hold it and we pat it and we comb its hair. Yes, we do. We build it a room in the house. We do all those things. And God forbid if you come and touch it. You know what I'm saying? Because we're not ready to give it up yet. So then if you touch it, then we get offended. We get offended about it. The other day in the car, me and John was in the truck. And he said something and I said, are you trying to boss me? And he looked over at me and he said, did I touch something in you? And I said, in my mind, you know, I was thinking, he don't know. You know, he's trying to keep that, just a little bit more of that control, you know, like, are you trying to be my boss? But she arose. She got up out of her hard place and she moved. On down there, in verse 6, it said, and then she arose with her daughters-in-law, and she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people and given them bread. So she got up from her place, and then she heard of where the Lord was. How many times in our situations do we don't even think about hearing what God wants to say? We just want to keep it. We want to hold on to it as long as we can. But she heard. Not only did she hear, she got her two daughter-in-laws and she proceeded in that direction. So whenever God speaks truth to us, y'all, we have to get up and proceed in that direction. Now, they didn't fully understand what she was doing, but they obeyed and they went. And I'm going to show you what happened in the end. Then in verse 8 it said, and Naomi said unto her daughters-in-laws, go return each to your mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with me, with the dead and with me. In other words, her two daughter-in-laws were good to her, which talks about the tone that Michelle talked about a woman. They were good to her. They didn't want to depart from her, but she was sending them back because she had nothing to give them. She felt she had nothing to offer them. Then the Lord grant you that you might rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. A lot of times, y'all, when we're going through stuff, we look for a whole lot of other things. But what we need to begin to look for is the rest in God. First, we need to begin to look for the rest, not the answer. Because sometimes we get so caught up in the answer. Because you know what has happened to us over the years? We've looked for the answer, and when we got that quick relief, we forgot about the God. It didn't change us. So you know what happened in about 2 months? We was right back in the same place that he had delivered us from. Because we didn't get that peace that we needed. Because see, when you get the peace of God, it don't matter how the circumstance come out. Whether you get what you want or not, as long as you got the peace of God reigning in you, you know that God is in control and it's going to be okay. If you didn't get your two cookies and chips, it's going to be okay. Because that's what we do sometimes. We want what we want. We want how we want it. We want it when we want it. But we have to understand that's not the heart of God. God's design is to grow us up. His design and his heart is to mature us. His design and his heart is to make us into women that run a good home, that teach our children about the Lord, that embrace godly ways. It's not shopping. Even though, listen, everybody likes to shop a little bit, but it's not shopping. It's not all this stuff we're caught up in on Facebook and chit chat and all this other stuff. It's not. Listen, I'm being honest with you. We spend more time doing those things than we do sometimes as a mother raising our children, putting values in our children, loving our husbands. You know, doing the things that we're supposed to do. We don't have to be like the world. We don't have to pick up what they do and do it. We need to calm ourselves down. We need to first take a look at our own lives and calm ourselves down and say, God, are you pleased with the way I'm doing? And everything that he doesn't want you to do, we need to begin to peel that off so that we become the women of God that he has called us to be. In verse 12, when Naomi says, I'm too old. So in other words, she's going to send those two daughter-in-laws away. She said, I'm too old. But Ruth was so committed to her that she would stay. She said, I am too old. If I could tonight have a child, would you wait on that child to mature so that you could marry them? Think about that. Would you wait on them? That means that I got to wait another 25 or 30 years for this child and stay hooked to Naomi. Think about that. Verse 16, it said, and Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or return after following thee. For whether thou goest, I will go. Think about this, y'all. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my God. Now, this is a commercial. It won't cost you nothing. That verse right there makes me think of marriage. How we meet somebody, and we just be all, oh, we just so in love. We just can't see nothing until the journey starts. Because really, that's what you're saying. Wherever you go, I'll go. I mean, think about it, women. Think about it. I would tell y'all something, but it might bother some of you, so I won't use that as an example. Where you go, I'll go. Where you lodge, I'll lodge. Lodging might not be what I'm used to being lodged in. Your people shall be my people. Really? And thy God, my God. I'm telling you, I wish I could use this example. I wish I could, but I can't. For some of you that's getting ready to get married, you need to go read that real good and ask God to help you with that, because it'll help you. Because there was a great commitment there that needs to be there in marriage. Don't misunderstand me. But I'm telling you, the journey, it don't always feel good. Sometimes you want to say go home to your mother. And they want to tell you to go home. But there is a commitment there that we have to do like Jesus Christ told us to do. Until death do us part. Until death do us part. Where thou diest, I will die. Think about that, y'all. Wherever you be buried, that's where I want to be buried. Wow. I want y'all to think with me now. Verse 18 said, when she saw that she was steadily minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. Whenever God can get us to a point where we say, Lord, whatever you tell me to do, that's what I'll do. In spite of how I feel, in spite of what I want to do, I'll do, God, I will obey you. I'll walk with you. I will allow you to walk with me. See, sometimes in our journey and in our walk, we'll say, God, I'll walk with you as long as you give me what I want, when I want it, how I want it. And you don't ask me to do nothing that I don't want to do. That's what we do. But even y'all, the journey of salvation and the journey of just a Christian causes us to be, we have to be committed to God. And we have to be committed to his word. Because we don't understand sometimes that when we started reading the word, we're excited. But you don't understand that we have to eat of that word. And we have to do of that word. And as we begin to do that, that's where the change comes. Ruth possessed many attributes of a woman of God, which is found in the personality of Ruth in the story. She was a woman of virtue and godliness. She was a woman of purity. She was a woman of humility. She was a woman of honesty. She was thoughtful. She was a virtuous woman. Now, I want you to see that in the book of Ruth, in 22 verses, y'all, 22 verses, Ruth moved from widowhood and poverty to marriage and wealth. Think about that. Now, it had to be a God to do that in 22 verses. We must be women who move from the places of our hurt, our frustration, into the places of wealth and of God's promises. This right here, the things that Ruth did. Now listen, I'm going to tell you something about Naomi. Naomi, actually, if you read the rest of the story, Naomi was important because she guided Ruth into her legacy and her destiny. Because she married Boaz. And Boaz was a wealthy man. And not only that, but she had a son. So, but Naomi told her, she said, when he is gone and he is drunk and he is feeling good and he lays down, she said, you go lay at his feet. See, there are some places I can't go without the wisdom of the older ladies. I want you to know that they're important because they went where we got to go. That's how come when I get in trouble, I got a couple of them that I call. And I say, can you help me through this here part right here? Because see, if I came to you, you'd tell me, go do this. No, baby, I need to know somebody that's went down that road and has turned that thing and went through that, and they got some stamina. Do you see what I'm saying? I need some wisdom. God is good to us, y'all, but we got to move from that place of hurt and frustration. We got to. We don't have a choice. And this goes back to Galatians 5:22, where it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And I want you to understand that the joy, the peace, the gentleness, the goodness, the long-suffering, the faith, I want you to be encouraged that if you don't possess any of those things today, that I want you to take one nugget to understand that fruit is grown. So if you'll stay with God and you'll stay with the right gardener and the right pruner, I promise you, he will develop all of these things in us. I hope that I have said something this morning. I hope all three of us have said something this morning that will bless you, that will encourage you. That was our heart and that was our mind, to encourage you. Have a happy Mother's Day. And at this time, I'm going to ask Miss Brenda if she will come. And if the ladies will come, she's going to pray over us. You want to come up here? Did you want to?
Okay, I'd like for all the mothers to stand. And if you have a mother's heart and you have people around you that you mother, I want you to stand too, because you're a mother in the spirit. I want to pray a blessing over you because you are very important to the Lord.
Yes.
And first of all, I want to read Proverbs 6:24 to you because it's such a good blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And also I want to read Deuteronomy 28:6, blessed shall you be when you come in, blessed shall you be when you go out. So, Father, right now,
yes,
I speak blessings over these ladies. I ask you to give them grace to do the hard things.
Yes.
I ask you to give them faith when times are hard, yes, and that they won't give up.
Yes.
I ask you to encourage them when they're hopeless. I ask you to keep them pure before you. Give them much wisdom to make wise decisions. And bless them in every way. In the name of the Lord, amen. Happy Mother's Day.
We're going to do one song for you, please. Just give us 1 minute. We're going to do this last song. And when this song is over, you are dismissed. Thank you.
Decisions must be made, and now I have a choice. I need your wisdom, Lord. I need to hear. And the walls are closing in.
Amen. We just want to thank you again for our three speakers this morning. You guys did an awesome job. And we just say have a happy, happy Mother's Day. And God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org. Or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.